Hello, fellow weirdos. Ryan Brushwood here. In this episode, we have yet another chapter in our ongoing battles with Spectrum. And I was going to try to snip everything out, but then realized that, again, I would find myself trying to manufacture a new narrative, which I didn't want to do. So forgive me, the Skype will get a little bit nutty. And going forward, I'm just going to be using AT&T tethering from now on. Hopefully you guys understand. This will be the end of the garbled internet drop days on the Weird Things podcast. Enjoy. It's a very, very exciting time for AI. And I think at some point I get a little bit Tony Robbins-y and motivational speaker. It is a new world, my friends. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Justin Robert Young.
Hello.
And Mr. Brian Brushwood.
Hello, 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 hello. Oh, you guys are kind of hot on the mic, so I'll get hot too. It's hot.
Sorry, I'd realized my mic was turned away because I made a video yesterday of me showing a magic trick to ChatGPT.
What?
You're like, wait, how do you show a magic trick to ChatGPT? Well, guys, glad you asked. ChatGPT now has live video.
Oh, that's right. Where can I see this video of you doing a trick for ChatGPT?
It's in my X, my Twitter.
Okay.
If you go look in my profile and you can see that there. So this is the hot new feature. Google Gemini, Google's launched their own version of this too. This is a thing that's been, you know, we saw this demo months ago from OpenAI. And finally, it's shipping and Google's shipping their beta version of what they're doing too. And, you know, now AI can see us.
Yeah, I actually had it take a gander at my frozen chicken wings that I was going to cook and ask it how long it would take to thaw if I just left it where it was. But it was interesting. It's live now, at least for me. But it feels like we are finally now getting our hands on everything that was demoed so many months ago, which is just great.
Yeah, it's we've talked about this before. Because the back end that you have to use to run this stuff, that's one of the factors, it takes a ton of compute. So yeah. If you announce that, hey, you know, because every time you do a live feed, there's creating a connection between your phone and the server. And, mm-hmm. you know, to handle a million of those takes, you know, a lot of infrastructure. And I think that I get some of the impatience, but I think that some people should need to understand that it's not just an app you download and runs on your phone. It's not.
No.
There's a computer somewhere else doing this work. And, you know, we saw too this week was the release of Sora. And, you know, Sora, you know, trying to figure out Sora is the new video generator from OpenAI, and it joins the ranks of other ones. There's Kling, why? There's some other, you know, number of video generators out there. And I think they all have their strengths. I think for speed and accuracy, I think the version of Sora we have right now, which by the way is basically Sora Turbo, it's a fast version of it. Some of the really cool, you know, videos we've seen before were probably generated from a more higher end one. But again, it's another thing where you need to have computers to run all that. And, you know, I've talked to even people in tech who are like, well, they should plan for that. It's like, well, you know, Jensen Huang and NVIDIA can only produce so many GPUs per hour. You know, it's not like you just say, I need this, and the GPU genie pops out of the bushes and presents you with an entire data center.
So it looks like when I wasn't paying attention, the rules changed on Twitter, and I can't just peruse your stuff. So if you could email me that link, then I'll get to see it. In the meantime, hey, Justin, have you used... I saw yet another breathless article about how cool the ChatGPT integration with Siri is. And it says, just activate Siri and then tell it to ask ChatGPT a question and then you could talk to it. And I'm like, how is that better or anywhere close to just using advanced voice mode on ChatGPT?
I would say if you are already used to and are sickos like us and have made your action button a automatic advanced voice mode summoner, then think of the ChatGPT integrations into Siri as a bonus of Siri being smarter when you do use Siri, when there is a reason for, you know, you interacting with your phone. The demo that OpenAI did with their Apple integration, which I think that they really should be applauded for, because this is something that, you know, is very, very big. They're on a lot of installs right now. It felt like the implementation before we get to the implementation that's really rad. Like, it's going to introduce ChatGPT to a lot of different people that have not done it, that just know I hit the button on my phone and I tell my phone to do a thing, and every once in a while it does it. It's going to be able to do cool stuff. But, you know, even the demos that they did on the ShipMiss video were like, hey, organize a holiday party for me. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. It's going to be able to access the address book and put together a group chat for like the people that I want to invite to the party. No, that's still probably yet to come. They haven't unlocked, you know, or it's like, make a playlist for me. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. I have Apple Music. I can actually just tell it to make a playlist and it'll just enter it into Apple Music. And I'll just have a holiday playlist that I can go through. No, that's not there yet. It's just kind of a text thing that you can then create a playlist manually. So this is a delicate dance that Apple has to do. I think that they're trying to build for a future where you can use a lot of different computational assistants and large language models. So, you know, we'll see. But to answer your question, that's about, you know, 3,000 words that could have been two. It's not as good.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't being left out of the loop on something cool or useful, because I think the key is, like, we did just out of the gates acclimatize ourselves to using that action button, and it is the fastest way.
If and when, I do think it's when, not if, you are able to use the intelligence of a large language model to interact with the things that rightly are private on your phone, then Siri will be indispensable using ChatGPT. Like, that you will be able to marry those two things together and have an infinitely better experience. Right now, it's everything that you kind of thought it was, which is like, what if I wasn't already 15 steps ahead of this in terms of my enjoyment of OpenAI products?
Yeah. Well, here, we got the video here. Let's take a look at Andrew Main doing magic for ChatGPT.
Hey, chat, do you want to see a card trick?
Sure, I'd love to see a card trick. What do you have in store?
I'm going to spread these cards like this, and when you feel like it, I want you to say stop, okay?
All right, I'll let you know when to stop.
Anytime.
Stop.
All right. Now, I want you to look at this card. Can you see a card?
Yes, I can see it clearly.
Okay, don't say it. So we're going to lose the card in the middle of the deck. And I want you to concentrate on the card, and I'm going to try to find your card somewhere in there. Understand?
Got it. I'm focusing on the card. Let's see if you can find it.
All right. I think your card is actually back to the top of the deck. What was your card?
It was the Eight of Diamonds. Okay. Did you find it?
What card am I holding?
That looks like the Ace of Hearts.
That's
Did
not-
you want the Eight of Diamonds instead?
Yeah, is that... I know, it's what you wanted, right?
Exactly. The trick was entertaining and your presentation was great.
But the trick's not over. You see, what card am I holding, actually?
Oh, it looks like the Eight of Diamonds is actually on top. Great trick.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's so crazy.
Fantastic. Okay, so... sorry. Go ahead.
Now tell me about the AI.
There's so many little things, like you could tell that the AI, what's funny is, like, boy, you want to talk about meta. We're watching a black box robot critique or be an encouraging audience member for a magic trick, and all three of us are obsessed with what's behind the curtain on the black box as it's going through the stuff. It seems like it's waited to be supportive and to try to figure out exactly what the default response from a supportive audience member should be. Oh man, we got attacked by Spectrum. So let me press pause.
And the probably the first time anybody did a magic trick for loud. So yeah, that's going to be a thing to think about. Like, I need agreeableness and honesty. I need to have more honesty than agreeableness. So I need to adjust because I might want, you know, that's. Right. It's telling you your slop is good.
Turns out it's smart. It says I'm amazing. I've written the great next American novel.
Yeah. So, but it's their ways to make it work and again prove it. And that was the thing too. Is I thought, oh yeah, I can't show up the card because it'll go, yes, that's your card. I have to do, you know, a lift or some other magic term. And so, you know, there's little things you have to figure in there to do it. But you know, I was gonna do like, hey mom, I finally found.
Can you actually fill me in? This is something that I kind of caught up a little bit about, and that is that Google, which I've been particularly critical of, the multimodal model in beta that people are raving about.
Yeah, it's similar. It's basically they've had a model that does that, can do screen, and maybe on the desktop now. And so, you know, I think they've delivered on that. And, you know, I think it's an exciting time. You know, we've got, yeah, you know, two companies now putting out, you know, incredible capabilities there.
Now, of course, we have no idea get on the 12th day of ship miss, but, you know, we will see, leading up to that.
Yeah. My nit against some of the Google stuff is some of it's really good, some of it's really not good. Like I went into Google Docs to use Gemini for like writing slides and stuff. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's a terrible product. And I think that they have some really good stuff there. You know, my friend Logan does a lot of their comms on stuff, and you know, and I think he does a great job. I think he's doing a fantastic job with helping them call attention stuff. But some of the stuff, you know, it's and we talked about this before, like the most exciting thing to come out of Google from a public perception was Notebook LM, which was just a side little throwaway project.
I was not super impressed with Gemini's voice mode. I found it to be a little jankier, but then again, it's like, it's hard to compete with advanced voice mode for ChatGPT in terms of its ability to be interrupted and answer stuff. The answers on Gemini were fine. I didn't get too far into it, but it was definitely enough of an uncanny valley that it didn't invite me to continue to have a conversation in the same way that, you know, the little polish that comes along with advanced voice mode on ChatGPT does.
Hey guys, during that conversation, I was successfully able to plug in and switch everything over to a tethered device. So, I'll clean it up in the audio edit, but basically, it was fascinating to see ChatGPT know its role of being a supportive audience member and paying attention. And it seemed like it didn't want to correct you on the beat of the quote unquote wrong card in that moment.
Yeah, it's trying to be very, but again, I could probably give it a system message and do other things to do it. I just, you know, it's remarkable where we are now. It is absolutely remarkable, you know, where we are now, and that, you know, we're in this place where you're getting, again, like to use the Gemini Live API, like I guess you've got to, like, it's the multimodal API. You got to go in there and use your API key to go do it. Maybe it's shipping in an app. I'm not aware. I mean, that is the hard thing to know. Sometimes the Google stuff is they'll announce a thing and you're like, where is it?
As far as I know, the new multimodal thing is only in their AI playground.
Yeah. So. I'm in there right now. Yeah. Which I think they've done, you know, they've done a really neat job of that, but also it's hard because it's like, both Google and OpenAI, part of what they're doing are things for developers and part of them are sort of for like kind of the normie world. and kind of going back and forth between that and figuring out where the thing is. But yeah, I think their AI studio, by the way, I think that they've done a really good job of creating a pretty good interface to go work with stuff. That being said, let's talk about Sora.
Yeah, let's talk about Sora.
So,
Brian, do you have an account?
Well, as of 5 minutes ago, yes.
Nice.
I look forward to playing with it.
Andrew got an account first, and he texted our group, and I want to
preface. My friend is the chief of staff for the Sora project, and I did not bother her. I never asked her. I never went to her and said throughout the whole. I saw the first versions of this 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I never tried to be like, hey, you know, would be, you know, you want me grumpy on Twitter. But I was like, I'm going to wait like everybody else for this.
You did. You did. And you were persistent and you found the shields were down for luck enough that you got an account. You texted us to say that the shields were down. I tried to log in immediately from my phone and it was already shut down. But I did get in the next day and I have been making videos, tips and tricks, Andrew.
So number one, understand these things are going to get better. You know, the quote is, this is the worst it'll ever get. Well, unless they create like some super fast downgraded model and it'll get worse. But
yeah,
technically we're GPT-1 stage. This is where the stuff starts. Understand too, to manage your expectations. If you think about how we're still trying to figure out how to get images to show complex stuff, like, you know, two interlocking donuts, you know, in front of, you know, a freeway with cars driving backwards, like video is that much harder because video has to then one, get an image right, and then create sequential frames of that, right? So you're not going to get a video to show you a thing an image can't show. So, you know, start off there. That being said, if you're trying to get a video to work right and it doesn't, start with an image. Go to DALL-E, go to one of these other image generators, start with a starting image of what you want using a more capable image generator, put it in there as your starting reference for Sora, and it will take that image and will try to interpret that how it wants. Even better, if you have access to be able to upload video, you can give it a video and you can say, hey, replace this, you know, handsome podcaster with a chimpanzee, and it will do that, or change things subtly. And so you can use video as a way. I've seen people take janky video from other AI systems, plug it into Sora, and all of a sudden the people become super realistic and everything else. So those are some tactics. When you use Sora, you can, one, make sure you're just doing like, you get one or two generations at a time, do it at 480p. I haven't noticed a stronger coherence in the higher resolutions. I could be wrong, but it's not like using higher resolution makes it smarter. It just makes it kind of more detailed. So if you get it working, because it takes you 20 credits at the 5 second 480p, and it's 200 credits if you're doing it at, you know, 1080p.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah. So doing it smaller, if you say, oh, I like this. Well, yeah, then go try that prompt on a 1080p if you want. But there are other ways to upscale video too. So I would say go look at the feed. What I do is they have a featured feed which shows you all the featured videos that they've highlighted and say it's cool. They have there's also a recent feed. I go in there and I go, oh, how do they get that effect? Because like I've been wanting to do like stationary shots and playing a different language for that. And then I see stuff that I like and I go, oh, there's some really cool prompting in there. So if you want to learn prompting, go look at and it may not be the subject you like, but the way that it's done that impresses you.
Mm. Just the way that the prompts are able to get the most exciting video.
Yeah. If somebody wants to put it on screen, we can kind of go through and show some of this.
I'm not having cooperative internet between the two computers.
I'll share.
Although I have resolved in my heart that from this day forward, I'm never going live on Spectrum again. I'm only going to go live tethered.
So right now I'm going to show you, there's a featured tab, which shows you, these are the ones that OpenAI, you know, the people there have selected to say, this is really cool. I think like here, we've got this sort of armored warrior and that'd be cool. So I can click on that and I can click on, there's several ways you can make a thing. So first, if you give it a prompt, Sora will take your prompt and turn it into storyboards if it figures out that it has to be multiple images, or you can create your own storyboards. There are videos that explain it better than I am, but I can see this is what somebody wrote in the Moonlight Forest clearing. A fantasy character stands poised, clad in gleaming armor, etc. And then a lot of other stuff it's probably going to ignore. And then a couple other frames. And then when we click that, we can see, well, we see the wolves in the background. We see the fantasy character, etc. And we see the gleam. And so you can see how that manifests itself. And there are other tools in there, Blend, where you can combine stuff. But it's just helpful to go through here and look and say, okay, what do I like? Oh, this is a pretty cool stationary shot of an elk bugling in early morning. There's a light fog in the air.
Can you try modifying that? And like, for example, this may be one of the
unicorn.
This may be one of the very first times I actually got an inspiration. So looking at this, I was like, you know, it'd be great is to see that elk, or as you have it now, a unicorn, just sitting there for, I don't know, a few seconds and then comedically belch in a surprising way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can do that too. Let me wait for this. So you'll get an update, and you can see up in the corner there as it's generating it. Here's like a cool one of a car chase at night. I'm gonna save that because I want to go look at their prompt later. You know, dog and cat trying to fly an airplane. I'll scroll through some of the ones I made too. So let's go to
that monkey one is insane. That is photorealistic.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of nature stuff. A lot of like close up shots of animals are pretty good. So we'll go to my videos, our podcast one. I took my Twitter bio and said, let me plug that in there and have it turned into a movie.
Oh, that's wild.
That's amazing.
I was trying to do like ring camera of like Bigfoot coming up and probably needed more time. I was trying to do pop-up book. I was trying to do Schrodinger cat equation. This was me doing, you know, a raccoon adventure game. I kept trying to get a muscular gladiator man. Don't worry. It's just a thing. No, trying to get into like putting on helmets and stuff, which is hard. As you can see.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's like a simple, closest I got was I found somebody to prompt of like something taking it off.
Yeah. Hold on real quick. Let's back it up a little bit. This is a good kind of training moment.
The muscular gladiator man.
Yeah. To the first one, because the problem for the audio listeners.
The shirtless muscular gladiator man. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. The problem.
Just jacked, just ripped. Like, sorry, Brian, but we're talking just washboard carved out of marble, hot action.
So in this case, one of the problems that I assume it's dealing with, because what you see is it looks as though the prompt was a gladiator taking off a helmet. But then what happens is the helmet comes off and it reveals another helmet underneath.
Another helmet, yeah.
But it makes sense if like, say you're a robot, you don't understand nothing. Like when you think of an archetypal image of a gladiator, it has a gladiator helmet on the gladiator. So it's like, well, the prompt said a gladiator takes off a helmet. So it takes off the helmet. And what does it reveal? I'm certain that if it was a reasoning engine, it would think through what's underneath the helmet of a gladiator.
It is a reasoning engine. They're all reasoning engines. It's the degree at which you can reason.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean like an O1 or one of the more advanced reasoning engines.
No, even if we went and we used the more complex version of Sora, it would probably get it right.
You know, I agree, but my point being is that we're dealing with a limited version that only has enough resources to get so far as what does it reveal? A gladiator underneath. What is the definition of a gladiator? A man wearing a gladiator mask.
Yeah, and it's only got a certain amount of compute space to do that. The bigger models have a lot more, and it would go like, oh, you know, to your point, you know, just saying like, these things reason to an extent, but it is like, you know, like you said, it's like a simpler model would be like, yeah, gladiator man, it's a gladiator man, you know? I did want variations of like this, but this was the first prompt that I said, I wanted it to be a Mac, old Macintosh computer drawing a cat. And that actually turned out pretty well. It was a stationary image and seeing the cat form on there. This was an attempt at trying to do a book trailer. I gave it my book thing, and you can see it might be some video game footage in there.
Yeah, that is the rumor, is that there's interesting, boy, what a gnarled, tangled mass of things when it comes to the training data, because, you know, think of the IPs that get licensed to video games that who like the video game has a license, and then that shows up on a streamer who plays the video game. And then the streaming platform has certain rights, and then, you know, who's, I don't know. It's what an interesting legal time.
So I wanted to do a stationary shot where it's pretty stationary, and the goldfish is almost completely in the fishbowl, but you can see at the bottom corner how it pops out of it.
And that's going to be the test to see, understand how intelligent these models are, as you'll see less of these mistakes. Every one of them, even this, is a physics simulator, but not all physics simulators are perfect. They approximate, you know, within some sort of range of a decimal point. And you'll see that clearly it makes some mistakes there. I did a live stream of showing the new game Grand Theft Android. You know, more gladiator stuff. It's trying to I can't get the mask on. It's trying to do a city being formed. This was a suggestion somebody had last night, which was people eating pizza cones. More again, I was trying to see if there's any way to get the gladiator helmet thing working.
So the prompt that did work, if I were to guess, this is me trying to figure out a magic trick, was the prompt to say a man is wearing a gladiator helmet and takes it off?
I found one where somebody had got a clone trooper and says takes off his and never said helmet. This one was pretty close here. A man with gray eyes, a scar on his cheek, raises a gladiator helmet, places on his head. So let me try this. I'm gonna get rid of the scar. I'm gonna do that because I did break that into an action. He raises a gladiator helmet. We'll go do two for this. So I'm gonna go back and render that because that was one of the close. Did it in a cut, which was good. And I saw kind of close helmet stuff. You saw here, trying to put on a helmet, but the helmet fades through.
And, one unifying theme, whether it's chat or video or image prompting, is it seems like you want to begin with something very, very concrete and simple first, and then add touches to taste and kind of baby step. It's, to be honest, it's a bit like the process of hypnosis on stage.
Yeah, I mean, draw a picture, get a very clear foundation on it, then figure out how you move to the next step. You know, if you look at prompts, you'll see some people a determined will to take over the world. And the part of me is but the part of me is well, I got to know what words it was trained on. I got to know what, there might have been a bunch of silly language like that in there. So this Brett and I took a train. We took a trip. I took the photo and I animated the photo. And that's because 100% completely accurate representation of Brett. That exactly, Brett. And then I did these.
That's amazing.
So yeah, we just took the subway footage and now we turned it into where we look like, you know, this. So our audio listeners, this is going to be your favorite thing.
One of the things that it brings to mind as we see everything moving so quickly is there's kind of a paralysis where it's difficult to figure out what to do with it, because as novel as this is right now, I mean, what's the window for how novel this is going to be? Weeks, days?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about before, you saw how you could use this for B-roll, and for certain shots of B-roll, if you understand, people come in with I would say people need to align their expectations. And I would say in part, had I been trying to roll this thing out, you know, I would not be putting it in the hands of a bunch of experimental artists. I would have been handling it in the hands of people doing production and documentary stuff where they need to get B-roll and they need to get companion footage. You know, this is not Pixar right now. You're not going to make a next big, you know, Pixar movie. If you wanted to do a story about, you know, Alexander the Great and have a bunch of cool cutaways and stuff, this is perfect while I have real people talk about a thing, you know. And I think the idea that we showed, there was some leaked footage that was extremely cinematic battle scene stuff, which looks amazing. And that's what the higher end version of Sora will be doing. We're going to see. You know, you will see the stuff in production, you know, and this will get there. But for the version people are using right now, this is, you know, Brian needs a quick cutaway to bees, you know, so we need something like this. So here's our unicorn in the field.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. It's cool.
It's a very still unicorn, but majestic nonetheless.
Yeah. So.
I continually say, and I think Sora is another part of it, is that these are amazing tools to enhance something that you are making, something for which is human art. This is a way that you can create a moment or an image or a flicker or something like that in this phase right now, where you can totally take something to the next level. But it's not going to be the main event right now. like, or the people that do figure out how to make it the main event will be leading the way in this art. Like, it's amazing B-roll. It is great to have background images. Like, I could very much see versions of this that loop as green screen or something like that. Like, you could do stuff like that easily. But you know, it's, I think for everybody that's using it right now, the best thing that you can do is just continue to get better at using these tools, because these tools are only going to get more powerful.
I would say also it's worth investing the time and energy to play with these tools. Not even, let's say you never intend to release anything using them. At the very least, go to work now on enhancing your literacy on them, because you can sniff out artistic trends in advance. For example, there's a t-shirt that I have from Scoopfest that I've worn like for a year and a half, or say, or I think it's last year. I forget how long, but I've enjoyed it. And only this past week did I catch a glance of it out of the corner of my eye, and it just hit me how clearly generated by DALL-E it was. And I realized that I had, my brain had learned to map itself onto the artistic patterns and stylings of that. And so what previously just looked extraordinary suddenly seemed very mundane. We talked about, as I think of it, the papyrus problem, where it's like there is no objective quality. There's only a sense of, was this high effort, low effort? And so as a consumer, the sooner that you, I remember somebody showed me my name with cool flames coming off of it. And I said, how on earth did you do that? And he goes, Photoshop, which I took to mean this person laboriously took samples of flames and used the clone tool and sculpted my name in flames. But I didn't have the literacy as a consumer to know that he literally clicked the one button in the latest version of Photoshop that says, make these words in flames. And it took me like a month later, I felt kind of like a chump. And so, like, if for no other reason, find out whether or not you're going to be embarrassed using Comic Sans or Papyrus, by watching and actually playing with these tools, and you'll develop this sense extraordinarily quickly.
Yeah. And you know, that, like I said, that manage expectations going in. We saw that with images where, you know, you'd see headlines, now you can create anything. Well, no, you can't, because, you know, the term, Aditya, who's the head of Sora, it explained to me when he was working on DALL-E, the concept of variable binding. And variable binding is, how does one object connect well to another? And that's a problem you saw at the Gladiator helmet. I have a person standing there, no hat. I tell him he has to put a hat on. Well, that means the AI has to figure out, what is this plus this plus this plus this? And that's where it gets really complicated. And these simple, you know, these, clearly it can do some form of it, because it can understand, like, okay, I got to have my people right, you know, the way working, the way gravity works, all these other things. So it can do a lot of real simple reasoning, but the compute that it takes to do the more complex stuff is intensive. Over time, these things will get better. But as you said, you know, Brian said, is like, play them now and you start to understand the limitations. Because I saw some videos of people who are like, this, it's terrible at this. And then I watched a guy like, I want somebody hula hooping in an alley while there's fire in the background. I'm like, dude, I'd be amazed if you got it to show a dude hula hooping. Cause like hula hooping's like complex physics. Like that's a, you know, and we'll try that next, you know, and you know, a man hula hooping, you know.
It is fascinating that for the bulk of my, let's say my adult life, let's start at age 20 till now. So over the last 30 years, as a performer, you learn to talk good and learn to have clarity in your scripts and all that stuff. But meanwhile, in the world of getting computers to do things, that's the opposite of a good skill. You want to think of everything as pipes and flow charts and, you know, reduce everything to dumb pipes. And now all of a sudden those so-called soft skills Weirdly, over the next 5 years, I just am struck by the fact that I'm about to become a pretty good programmer because of all three of us, in our skills of the efforts that we put in to being excellent communicators is going to make us good programmers.
I did a prompt, which was like, I tried to do a complex action sequence here. And this is very not a meteor crashes in the desert at night. A meteor cracks open. A seismograph at a research station goes wild. Hand in a office reaches for a telephone. A fight jet takes off in the desert runway. We see an aerial shot of the meteor. A bomb explodes.
Those were all of the segments that you had typed into Sora.
Yeah. And so you have a storyboard mode. The nice thing is you can get a coherent. So let me do a better example of what that means. So I'm going to go into here. I'm going to create a new one. By the way, this is our man trying to hula hoop.
Again, audio listeners, it's a guy just holding a multicolored Jakey hoop, yeah. And he's just dancing with it with his arms outstretched. It's amazing.
Yeah. 40-year-old. Podcaster in a scary studio is streaming. Okay, and I'm gonna add a storyboard now. I'm gonna say a face appears in a window, and these should be more descriptive, window behind him. Okay. And then we'll just do like a 15-second one. The podcaster looks up in horror. Okay. So one of the cool things is, like I said before, and I'll show you where we'll start off with an image and then I'll show you how we can actually create that. But you can actually start off with images in another model to get what you really want. So you can have a really good example of that. And that makes all the difference in the world. And I'll show you what I mean by that is I'm going to go to my library of all the videos I've made. I'm going to scroll down. Quickly.
While you're doing that, another thing I just noticed is that based on the training model, like 5 years ago, I would have questioned whether or not you should have used the word streaming because not everyone would have used it. But nowadays, just say a podcaster is streaming and you're not going to see, urine.
So, it depends on how you train it. Yeah. So this originally prompt was a nostalgic 1980s setting featuring an old Macintosh computer, blah, blah, blah. I gave this to the model and said, okay, I want you to create this image of somebody typing on an old Mac computer, right? Now, I wanted a nostalgic retro thing. You can see it did sort of a Rubik's Cube up in the color of, but on a VHS cassette and all that. That didn't work. I took this same prompt and I gave it to DALL-E, and I had DALL-E generate a video based on this of an image. I had DALL-E create an image. Then I uploaded that image and fed it back into Sora, right? And so the difference is you get a much more, it looks like it's a much prettier, much more aesthetically pleasing desk. So I used a starting image from DALL-E, then placed it into Sora. So you can see the difference between the two. Like, this is just Sora with that prompt. This is DALL-E as it using that as a starting prompt for an image and plugged into Sora.
Wow. You know what this feels like? This feels like early days of 3D Studio Max and so on, where you would deal with low poly models, because part of the reason that Sora, of course, is, having difficulty with a VHS tape that becomes a set of Rubik's cubes is because there's a trade-off of time, energy, and effort. Like, you don't want to click go and have it take forever to get something unusable. So instead, you render everything in low poly mode. So in this case, it's rendering everything in low effort intelligence mode, where it's like it's getting it like a GPT-1 style roughly right. By the way, we're seeing you weren't kidding when you said scary streamer.
But I'll tell you what, it's watching a sequence of frames and some of are completely bizarre and whatnot, and I did not use enough description there. What I want to call attention to is we see this guy live streaming right here,
Okay. And then we cut away a shot here, a wider shot, cut into a close-up shot. What do you notice?
It's the same person.
The same guy. It's the same guy. That coherence is phenomenal, because basically we're getting, you know, that's what's significant, is the fact that it's not a new person in each shot, which has been one of the problems with other image models, is that you just keep getting complete different things.
Yeah, it's very, very hard to get character coherence.
Yeah.
Yeah, the memory thing, it will be interesting to watch resolve, because for those who haven't stumbled across the explainer article here or there, as I understand it, and you could correct me, Andrew, but every time you add another variable, just the amount of memory and compute required to keep track of everything becomes exponential. And that's part of why conversations meander into, you know, the more you go on, it's almost as though the model has a hard time, or at least the models available to us right now, has a hard time remembering the beginning of the conversation, or it starts bringing in threads that you've already established, you know, are no longer relevant. Oh, look at this. Okay. So in this case, we have a screen grab of Justin.
Well, now let me ask you this though, Maine, because something that it has been kicking back to me is that nothing with a face. It has errored me out a few times for anything with a face.
Are you a pro subscriber?
Oh, is that a perk? Is that a pro perk?
Yep.
Damn.
Oh, all right. No, what are you doing?
You sold me.
Not even sponsored.
I know.
And yet, well, and yet you just made two sales. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Kind of.
Because that's the thing, is like really what I want this for immediately is just to do a series of interstitials for my YouTube channel and my podcast. And it's like, it would be a lot better. I have all these professional photos of me that I can use as key images. I've tried to throw them. We had a fun thing going back and forth a few weeks ago where I, you know, there was like a free model that was like, in terms of video generation, and I used one of my professional photos, and it created something silly, but it's not something that I would want to represent with the show. But I think I can do something that I can represent with the show with Sora. It's just a matter of being able to upload a face.
And a cool thing about Sora is it does 16:9, 1x1, and also 9x16. So you can actually export into different formats. And the way Sora was trained, it was actually aspect ratio independent. Because they really, the hardcore part of Sora is really is trying to build a physics simulator. Yeah. What we've seen here is like a very quick kind of.
Okay. So what we, for the audio people, because I do think they need to get pulled into this. We began with a single screen capture of Justin's actual, like right now in the moment. And it just says, what was the prompt again, Andrew?
A podcaster confused by what he sees. It turns you into an old Jon Stewart.
I think I might be turning into an old Jon Stewart.
but keep in mind that for both there, it's a two shot. Shot one starts off static, but then becomes handheld. Shot number two looks like a blend between handheld and panning to the left. But it is all of the lights are congruent. So basically, what I'm seeing right now tells me I can take a vertical video that I shot and I can say, make this widescreen, and it will fill in the gaps congruently over the entire video. Like that alone, all of a sudden, let's say you've been TikToking for a long time. All of a sudden, all of your TikToks don't have, in fact, I may do this like, you can't upload a video, can you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I may try this with one of my existing vertical shorts and see if I could get it to widescreen and see.
You're going to have to upgrade to pro, though.
Sorry, already happened. By the way, this episode brought to you by Tor Brenner. Head on over to torbrenner.com.
So I didn't call it remix, where what you do there is you take the existing thing and you say, this is what I want you to do. So I said, have him wearing a puffy vest.
So this is basically, if I'm hearing this correctly, it sounds like, hey, that thing you just did, Sora, lock that in, only change this one part. Is that right?
Yeah. There's a setting which I didn't, let me see if I, there's strong remix. I use strong. I probably should use light remix.
Make him a pirate. A pro tip is, like, I would say, like, it will automatically wants to do two versions.
But I would say, but meanwhile, if it's making a wrong decision, then you've just wasted double the credits to get two wrong answers.
So I did strong remix, so like completely redid his face and everything.
You look a little bit Tony Stark-ish.
Well, yeah, now I look like a Call of Duty character.
Yeah.
That first one is remarkable in how it nailed the hair. Like the hair is very consistent, and I don't have particularly easy hair to get because of the gray and black kind of gradients and the fact that it's just kind of laying like a pile of salad right now. Like the second one looks more animated. The first one is like blink and you would think that was me the entire time.
Yeah. So you can go in and you can blend clips too. You can blend elements, but take two different clips and say, okay, I want something from here, something from there. I think they did a really good job for the interface and the kind of tools they created. I think storyboard is fantastic because of the coherence, because that is a thing that you can create a thing and keep adding onto it and do a story. And, you know, my one suggestion I made to them, I had many ideas, but the only one I told them was, speed. Make it easier to control the speed, because right now the six fingers for AI generated video is everything slow motion.
Yes, it is either like half speed or quarter speed. Like everything is cinematic. It looks impressive, I think, but it's kind of like the auto filter, auto gradient of this generation, where it's like, oh, the average thing will look better, but it'll look a little weirder. Wow, that's funny. That actually looks like an old Disney thing, although the hat is definitely emerging out.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There's kind of a washed out color palette to it. So the first one does look like it's a webcam, and then it goes to a higher quality DV cam. And then the second one, it kind of sweeps into this yellow and green oversaturated, picture kind of a dolly-ish image on that one. And then the third one looks washed out like that darn cat 1972 exactly, Witch Mountain.
Yeah, probably might be an Association of Pirates. So I went in and you can adjust the remix strength.
Oh, so like don't remix it too much.
Did you say the Pro was like unlimited?
So what you get with Pro is once you reach your limit of tokens is you get what they call relaxed, which it won't be immediate. It will go sort of as available in the queue. I don't have any idea how that means, but yes, you do get unlimited.
So it's closer to like the bandwidth throttled, unlimited cell plans, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think let's see, like, where am I right now in my plan? I got 980 credits left, so I'm very close to having to go to the restricted bandwidth one.
And that resets each month.
Yeah. Pirate podcast. This did a heavy remix of you, but.
That is just bonkers. Ladies and gentlemen, for those you poor tongueless triathletes listening to this while you're running, I wish you could see.
It is a visual feast.
I mean, whatever you're picturing, it's that good. Like that's the short headline.
I'll tell you what though. I think we do have to go to picks because I know you had a hard out, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll show you. Let me show you one more feature.
God, what a world that we live in that we didn't even get to the weird drones over New Jersey.
I'm telling you, I had a conversation with a friend. I'm like, literally, I said a thing 2 days ago, and then today we kind of had probably confirmation. This, I said, when it was a flying jetpack, guys, we looked online. We found that there was a number of military projects that had been announced of people paying for military jetpack technology, and the jetpack looked exactly like this. I see these drones. I'm like, I guarantee you there's Jersey Brothers drone tech company, which is testing some stuff, doing this sort of thing. And like, oh, the Pentagon. I'm like, do you think the press office, like, yes, the Pentagon press office is always my first choice for accurate information. you know, like that's mistake number one. I said, literally, you know, and they're not, you know, and the people running the project may not want to know. And then there was some confirmation of like, yes, this thing, this photo looks exactly like this drone that somebody developed. I'm like, yeah, it's like, it's just when people hear, well, the government denied it, so it can't be them. I'm like,
Okay. Yeah. We can choose a thing. They have like these different formats, like Stop Notion, Fullmore, whatever. Let's do an astronaut in a grocery store. So that's kind of the cool thing. They have these little presets, which will do different formats, like stop motion, stuff like this. Eventually that might be a style that you could do where you could like maybe come up with your own sort of styles. Like, oh, actually, you can create a new preset. So theme, wow. That's fast, everybody. So you could create your own preset to say, like,
oh,
have a theme. Shoot. Everything is made of inflated balloons, color glossy, film sock. This is a really, really helpful tip.
So, can we describe it for the audio listeners?
Yeah. So what it is a preset, like I said, where you can set a theme. Everything is made of inflated balloons. So you can set your own themes for what you want for presets. So I'm going to click a preset theme of stop motion, say an astronaut in a grocery store, and I'm going to click generate.
The turnaround is just extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing is that part of it is that they wanted to go for something faster, which means that you're not going to get the coherence. I believe they will probably do maybe fast follows where you might have, because they have a credit structure. They might say, oh, we have Sora HQ, you know, high quality now, which will take a lot longer, you know, and more credits, but you're going to get higher fidelity and whatever, you know, good for blank, good for this or whatever. And so, yeah, I apologize for audio listeners. Really, I advise people go to the front page of Sora, by the way, and just look at a lot of the images being created there. It is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. So this was stop motion.
That's wild. It's you got this kind of tracking shot, and then you have what looks kind of like an adorable CG Pixar-esque astronaut kind of stepping backwards through the grocery store.
I'm going to try a really complex one. Cat playing with his reflection in a mirror as we go to Pix.
Okay. I'll tell you what, man, we're coming up on the end of what, five seasons of Lower Decks. And you could kind of tell this most recent week's episode, you could tell that they kind of wanted to cram in all the cameos they're ever going to get by getting the actual actors from, you know, every beloved Star Trek property. And they even self-referentially say, oh man, alternate realities, it's just a crazy remix. These drive me nuts. And then they proceed to do a whole episode exactly that, where it's, you know, it's definitely the actor who played this guy, that guy, the hologram from this and so on. But despite the fact that I think there's two episodes left as we record this, what a great show. I'm so happy. We live in a universe where Lower Decks got made, and it essentially was basically a return to form for the next generation. It's just good Trek. It's great.
Big fan. You know, I've seen some people kind of light into that, and even Strange New Worlds, because of like, there's a lot of really silly sort of stuff, I think, in some of the new Star Trek. But like Lower Decks, I like. Strange New World, I liked. I think both were actually more kind of true to spirit. So yeah, I concur.
Well, and if nothing else, I'm very thankful that I get to introduce my 12-year-old to Trek, and you know, Lower Decks and the one crossover episode with Strange New Worlds is the only Trek she knows. And she remembers, you know, it's hard to remember 20 minutes ago when you're 12, but she was like, didn't we watch a crossover episode? Can we watch that again? I'm like, heck yeah, kid. That was great.
Yeah.
My pick is, if you have not watched the announcements from OpenAI over the last few weeks, the 12 days of shipments as they continue to be counted down, go do it. They're really short. They're all extraordinarily digestible. And you know, some of them are more dev focused. They are more focused on kind of people who are doing professional level research. But the vast majority of them have stuff that are easy to learn. And if you are looking to onboard yourself into some of this stuff and to get a sense of what, you know, one of the leading companies is doing, then go check them out. That's the OpenAI YouTube channel.
And it's nice because it's showing the people who worked on the features. It's literally engineers and researchers. You get to see them. They're very real. They're, you know, everyone, they end with a cheesy Christmas joke, you know, and it's you know, a little endearing, and you get a sense of the culture. It's, you know, it's a company I very, very much love, very happy to be part of. And it's neat to see some of these people that you know all of a sudden getting to showcase something they've been working on for a long time.
You know, sorry to interrupt, but one thing I really appreciate, and there's a discussion to be had. There are some people who feel like OpenAI is moving too fast, but what I absolutely full-throatedly endorse is the fact that they're moving fast in public. Like, all of humanity is getting a literacy course in the cutting edge of what AI can and can't do at any moment. And yeah, we're all having a laugh. Just before we went live, we, you know, somebody cobbled together a Sora video of, you know, hilarious AI construction stuff. But culturally, it's important in a world that we don't want propaganda to rule. We don't want to be programmed, which means we all got to learn kind of what the robots are good and bad at doing.
I made this argument that certain people were panicked that, you know, the last election was going to be election of deepfakes, and deepfakes were going to ruin the election. And the problem with deepfakes was we didn't have enough funny deepfakes. We had some funny ones. We just wanted more. We were waiting each day for the funny new AI video.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point to say that when you move fast enough and people catch on culturally, then that's a great thing, because people get it. Like, now, you know, people are like, oh, of course. You know, and I think one of the things, the funny thing, like one of the drone images was somebody took shots of some other airplane and then changed the narration. And it wasn't deep, and it wasn't, you know, it was real footage, and people fell for that. And it was like, yeah, well, that shows you that the problem isn't the AI thing. It's just how many questions we ask when we get a, you know, get a look at something. There are 5 more days left of shipments, and we're day 7. And I would say that, you know, some, they said some are big, some are small. They did some stuff we liked. The O1 fine tuning I thought was great. A lot of other things. I signed up for Pro just because of better access to O1. And then all of a sudden, because we're like, $200 a month. And now it's like, oh, unlimited Sora. Feels pretty good to me now. The A1, the video mode, like that we didn't even really dive into how useful that's going to be. Like, there's a lot of things that were just thrown at us. And some of these things come straight out from research. They go to safety testing to make sure that, you know, any obvious way you'd try to, like, they could be used for harm. And then they're put in front of us, and people go, it's like, well, what do I use it for? And it's like, I don't know. You show us. Go. It's up to you. And you are at the frontier right now. If you're playing with Sora or Kling or Gemini video or OpenAI video or any of these things, that'd be OpenAI stuff, any of the stuff, if you're experimenting with stuff, you're at the frontier. I had access to the earliest multimodal version of GPT-4, which was Vision. And I needed to come up with examples to show what it could do. And I was sitting here and I was hungry. And so I went downstairs and I took a photo of my refrigerator and said, tell me what I can eat. And I took that photo and I had a thing. That became a demo that now is a demo used in tons of places. I was showing Justin and Brian, oh, here's a funny thing that I wrote, you know, late one night as a prompt. That an example that was in now OpenAI, now it's Anthropic, now it's everywhere else.
Well, and
you
and
all can be that.
It's become canonical. It's become, you know, the stuff of legend, and it never, you know, like all great moments, it doesn't feel like much when you're doing it. It's but down the road when the echoes reverberate, and I love your take on that, Andrew. Yes, all of us, everybody watching this stream, everybody listening to our voice, congrats, you're in. If you ever wanted to be those two guys in the garage in the Bay Area inventing the Apple, you're it. This is it right now.
Now.
Don't have to be a person with a soldering iron or a manual on how to program in assembly language. Like, literally, you can be a creative person that says, I want to try to figure out something cool to do with this. And I was proud of what I did at OpenAI is somebody contacted me and said, hey, we knew an organization that works with the blind, and they have a program where people use their iPhones, the blind use their iPhones, and people sighted, people tell them what's in their kitchen and whatever, and help them, you know, make things. And I'm like, yes, let me connect with OpenAI, because what a great way to understand the problems people are solving. And what went from a small thing, now this was going to happen, but I'm saying, like, every person who has access to, like, an iPhone or an Android device, you know, Google's version of this, who has vision problems, can now ask an AI, what does this medicine bottle say? What is in here?
Yeah. Let me offer this reframe gift to everyone. This is an emerging market, and no matter what your domain is, if you're a plumber, if you're in hospitality, if you're a magician, if you are, whatever your day job is, there is somebody that is going to step into the role of the world's foremost expert when it comes to AI and that thing that you do. That job is officially posted. And here's the qualifications. Show up, be first. If somebody's already there, either be faster than them, learn faster than them, or figure out a subcategory of that domain. And that is yours. To be the best in the world at a thing is extraordinary. And all of us, like, it is raining those jobs right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just go experiment, go play with the stuff, you know, and you don't have to pay for a pro account. There's all sorts of other free accounts, all kinds of stuff. There's just waiting for a curious minds to go out there and do that, because the real creativity is only beginning. You can also, for the preset, upload an image or a video for a style, which is really kind of cool. I'm going to play with that next. So my pick is, I'm not going to name a show because it's not my pick. It is my things that really disappointed Andrew. I know people were involved in this thing. It ain't their fault. There is a science fiction show on a major cable network that it's not got great reviews because it's boring, because it shows the heavy handedness of the network going in there. It shows them probably rehiring, hiring, and putting people in there. And I don't want to blame the writers of the show for writing what is just, I remember one moment in the show where somebody says something which wasn't really that significant, and the music swelled up, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a bad show. Like, literally was like 20 minutes in, I'm like, this is going to suck because somebody's going, hey, there's no drama here. What do we do? I'm like, let's fix it with the music swell. And it's like, oh boy. And then I got, I don't know, like 15 minutes into the second episode, and I told my wife from the show that I've been one of the most anticipated show I've had for several years, said, I'm bored. And you know, I spent the rest of the night watching YouTube videos of people talking about Goosebumps. So there you go. I will say this, and I stand by my earlier take on it, which was this is a bastardization of the material, and nowhere near as good as it is the books. But you really do have a story to tell, and you've done a lot telling it, and that is Foundation. Foundation is a thing that just, it's not Isaac Asimov's story to me. And I think the way they took the story in a different direction was different than what I wanted to. But I've watched it twice now, all the way through both seasons, because I have enjoyed, once I gave up on getting the story I wanted and watching the story they wanted to tell and using elements of it, I've enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to season three of Foundation. And you know, like I do, I have a frustration because like there are elements of the story that I think were significant and amazing that did not make it in there, which I think would make for a really great show because it's just about power and the power hides and stuff. But still enjoyed it. The other thing is, you guys watch Skeleton Crew yet?
I've been very hesitant to even give it a try because I saw a bunch of kids in the thumbnail, and in general, kids are an excuse for low effort IP driven stuff.
So I would say, remember, it is. There's a pattern which I would say when it comes to showrunners. If they bring in a high-level producer, director, a director coming to run a show, and they're actually hands-on in it, for example, Matt Reeves was pretty active with Penguin, right?
Yeah.
And Penguin turned out great. Now, Matt Reeves wasn't the actual showrunner, but Matt Reeves was doing story elements. They incorporated, they said, we're going to embrace Matt Reeves' movie. We're going to use these shots. We're going to do this sort of stuff. And Matt Reeves, I think, is an incredible director. His Batman movie, I as much as I love Matt Reeves, I'm not excited to rewatch it. I don't know why, but I enjoyed Penguin. I probably got more joy in Penguin. That was great. John Watts, the guy who did the awesome Spider-Man new MCU Sony stuff, is the showrunner for Skeleton Crew. And I've enjoyed the first two episodes. It's fun. It's very much, let's go watch a bunch of, you know, let's watch movies between 1980 and 1985. And
yeah, I was going to say it had at its best when I looked at the commercial, it was like, oh, what if you did like kind of a Flight of the Navigator story inside Star Wars?
Or Goonies-esque. Yeah. Like, and yeah. Here's what I love about it. That's funny because they have like the kids come on the carpet to go talk about it. And they shot this thing like 2 or 3 years ago and they're like taller and older and stuff. The elephant boy alien, Neil, who's got the comb over hair, very likable, very realistic. It's like he's like a 10-year-old boy. He's like a 10-year-old kid. And I'm watching this going, how do they shoot this? You know, what do they do? I'm sure it's somebody in a mask and whatever. And it's a kid with a mask on. They CGI. And you see the kid like, oh, I'm like, that's brilliant. Watts cast four kids. You know, yeah. He had four kids and they're all the age. So it's not, you know, an AI or some, you know, 60-year-old person of short stature, you know, standing next to a kid with a cigar, like, hey, kid, let me tell you about that. It was just four kids playing that. I said, that was a really good thought because he may have had pushback, like, oh, do we want to put a kid in a mask to go do this? You did it. It's great. Neil is great. And so I'm only two episodes in, but enjoying it so far. So Skeleton Crew.
Awesome.
Gentlemen, it's been weird.